Welcome back to another episode of the Playbook Podcast with your host, Kyle Stout, another host,
Garrett Burkle.
So, Garrett, starting off the episode, we have some just very tragic news, sad news overall, the passing of Mississippi State head football coach Mike Leach, a beloved guy in the college football community. Football overall, you know, it's bigger than football. It's no rivalries, none of that. I mean, Mike Leach was a funny guy. He was one of the best coaches of all time, and I believe he should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, speaking on that, you have to have a 60% head coaching win percentage to get in the Hall of Fame, and unfortunately, he had 59.6. And a lot of people are saying that they need to change the rule, which I agree on because
I agree with that too.
Mike Leach is probably the most successful air raid coach.
No,
he didn't create it, but I mean, just what he brought to college football, an amazing offensive mind. I mean, Nick Saban said that, you know, every time he talked to Leach, it was always, you know, he always had a smile on his face. He's just a great offensive mind of football.
Yeah, you didn't know it was going to come out of his mouth, but it would always be very entertaining.
Yes, and I mean, like, he would just say the funniest stuff, and, you know, he's going to be very missed by everybody. And it's just very sad because, you know, he had four kids and a wife. And during, like, these seasons around Christmas, just, like, always be there for your family.
For sure.
Always forgive. Always, you know, be there for your loved ones. Tell them you love them because you don't know when the last time you're going to see them.
You're exactly right.
So, you know, it's very sad, tragic news. And, you know, prayers up to Mississippi State just overall. And I really do.
Sure.
I hope they're very successful this season.
I do too.
And I hope they win their bowl game.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
I mean, Mike Leach, again, he was one of the greatest football minds ever, I'd say. He built Texas Tech up from, you know, I don't want to say nothing because they were, I mean, they've always been pretty solid, but
yeah.
He built them into what they are. In 2008, he went 11-2 with them in one of the greatest seasons he's ever had himself. His overall record from 2000-2009 at Texas Tech was 84-49. And then he went to Washington State in 2012, and he had a really slow start there. He started 3-9, then 6-7, 3-9. But then picked it up. In 2015, went 9-4, 8-5, 9-4, 11-2, and 6-7. So again, he picked it up towards his end of the time, definitely at Washington State. Again, just one of the greatest coaches, you know, ever. And then he went to the SEC, and he started 4-7 in a COVID season. Then went 7-6 in 2021, and then this year went 8-4. And it looked like, you know, Mississippi State was only going to build on that. You know what I'm saying? They were just going to get better from that. And unfortunately, we'll never get to see what he, you know, could do, you know, in the coming years, which is really unfortunate. But, just prayers out to his whole family. And again, I mean, it's just, you know, it's terrible. But,
Yeah, I'd like to see, you know, next year, like, every team that Mississippi State plays, they do a memorial. Like, the home team against Mississippi State.
Yeah, for sure.
And I expect that too because, you know, like I said, it's not no rivalry. It's like Mike Leach was loved by about everybody.
Right.
I could guess even Ole Miss fans probably didn't hate the guy.
Yeah, for sure.
It's hard to hate a guy like that, and it's very sad when he passes away. But on some lighter news, let's talk about a little college basketball. We have a very entertaining week coming up. And I feel like December, January is kind of the prime of college basketball.
Huh?
I mean,
March?
The prime of regular season, sorry.
That's
yeah. March is like, yeah, March is prime, but, you know, it's getting good. Like, you can kind of evaluate teams. You can see who's good, who's not. So last night we didn't have anything too crazy. We did have a matchup between Alabama and Memphis where Alabama only beat them 91-88. Alabama's the number 4 ranked team in the country. And struggling like that against a Memphis team is, do you think there's any question marks there? Do you think Memphis is just a quality team that you think they're probably a tournament team?
I'd imagine Memphis is a tournament team. Penny Hardaway is one of the greatest recruiters in the game.
One of the greatest recruiters, but I don't think he's one of the greatest coaches.
No, I don't think he's a great in-game coach at all.
Yeah, I think that's the issue for Memphis because, I mean, you bring in a guy like, who was it last year? He's at, I believe, Eastern Michigan now. What's his name?
Oh, Amani Bates.
Amani Bates, yeah. I mean, he's one of the in high school, people were calling him, you know, the next LeBron.
Amani still has a lot of potential.
I think he does, but I don't think he's improved enough from high school.
So it was really an interesting thing there. He was the number one recruit overall.
Yeah.
Committed to Michigan State, backed out of Michigan State commit, ended up going to Memphis. I'm sure, you know, NIL was related somehow in there. He went to Memphis. He was good. Picked it up towards the end of the season, but he wasn't great. Hit the transfer portal, and a lot of people thought it was going to be Michigan State that's going to go get him. Neither school apparently offered him, so he ended up Eastern Michigan. And I'll tell you what, He's a very, very, very good player at Eastern Michigan. It's just, you know, it's not the right, you know, obviously doesn't have, you know, a surrounding cast around him. He's pretty much the main guy there. So I still think Amani's a future NBA player. I still think
he... Do you think he's a guy that's going to transfer again? Do you see him making the league from Eastern Michigan?
I think he could. If scouts don't love his game enough, I do believe he'll transfer somewhere better after the season.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, like you said, he backed out from Michigan State as his first college. And this offseason, I mean, Michigan went after him. Michigan wanted him.
Yeah, they did.
That would have been... Imagine how mad Michigan State fans would have been at that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, coming up, a big game tonight. We have number 16-ranked UCLA against number 20-ranked Maryland. That should be a pretty good one.
Where's that game at? Is it neutral?
It looks like it's at Maryland.
Interestingly enough.
So, I think Maryland's one of the more surprising teams, I think, this year.
Yeah. I think UCLA should be able to go on the road and get a dub, though.
UCLA has a tough week because they also play Kentucky Saturday in the CBS Sports Classic.
They really need a win this week, so I think they're going to get it tonight against Maryland.
For sure. And then Thursday and Friday, we don't have too many crazy games, but Saturday is just absolutely loaded. You have number 14-ranked IU against number 8-ranked Kansas.
That's at Assembly Hall, which is interesting enough.
Is that? I thought it was at Kansas.
Someone told me it was Assembly Hall.
I'm not really too sure. I think it's at Kansas, though.
So I think if it's at Kansas, I would say Kansas shouldn't have no problem beating them because IU hasn't looked good outside Assembly Hall this year. You know, they've looked not great at all outside of Assembly Hall.
Yeah, another big game is Alabama-Gonzaga, in a game where Gonzaga, I feel like they desperately need a win. It's early, but, I mean, you always want to keep building your resume
I'm going to take the Zags here.
It is a neutral court game.
I'm going to take the Zags. I think Gonzaga does need a big win.
I feel like they don't really have a big win
this
year.
Michigan State was a big win.
That's really the only one.
Yeah.
Michigan State struggled. Since, you know,
that is true.
Beating Kentucky.
That is true. I'm going to take the Zags, though.
I'll take Alabama to win that one. Then we have a big game here. A lot to prove for the Houston team. They play Virginia.
Where's that game at? Is it neutral?
It's on the road for Houston.
So I'm going to take Virginia.
I'll take Virginia, too. But, I mean, Houston's got to win this because looking at Houston's schedule, they're in the, aren't they in the American Conference?
I believe so.
They don't play that good competition. You know, this month they play Virginia as the only ranked team.
Yeah, but their past tournament history, I'm sure, will help.
Oh, yeah, 100%. They're always a very good tournament team, but this is the last ranked game they have all year.
Interesting.
So if they want a high ranking, I think if they win this game and win out, they're a one seed.
I still think if they lose it, they'll still have a chance to be a one or two seed.
I think they'd be a two seed, but I don't know how you could give someone a one seed without a ranked win.
That's true. That is true.
No matter what the record is.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there.
So this is a big game for Houston. I mean, they were number one for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they lost to Alabama. So we'll see how that goes there. We have North Carolina, Ohio State. It's the first game of the CBS Sports Classic. North Carolina needs a win.
I'm going to take Carolina.
I'll take Carolina to bounce back, too, because
they really do need a win.
Carolina has talent. I don't know what's really went wrong this season. Maybe it's
They weren't good at this time last year either. They got
when a team gets so hot late and returns almost the entire team minus, you know, Brady Manek, it's like you expect them to be very successful because they did get hot. They have Baycott, they have Caleb Love, they have all these guys that they returned and they're just struggling. I think they will pick it up and I think this is a chance to get a big win. Now Ohio State's not a team that I look at as like a contender whatsoever.
But
they are a top 25 ranked team. This would be a great win to get on track if you're North Carolina.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
You know, improved to 8-4, which really isn't that terrible of a record. It's really not. I mean, they've also played a pretty tough schedule, so.
Yeah, for sure.
I still look at North Carolina as a contender when it's all said and done. It's
still
very early. But yeah, big game there for North Carolina. And then the second game of the CBS Sports Classic, we have UCLA, Kentucky. Depending on the UCLA game against Maryland, it's going to be a good game in this one, but UCLA probably needs a win if they lose earlier this week.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
So that'll be a fun game. CBS Sports Classic, so he's pretty fun. I think Kentucky, this would be the first, you know, notable win of the season, I'd say, other than Michigan. Mm-hmm. But I think this would be a statement win. It could potentially get them back in the top 10.
Yeah, for sure.
And but it would build a lot of confidence. Then you can talk a little bit, your Purdue Boilermakers, first game being ranked number one this year, they played Davidson in the Indy Classic.
Interestingly enough about that Davidson game is our freshman star guard, Fletcher Lawyer's brother, Foster Lawyer, a former Michigan State player, plays on Davidson. He is a very good player. He's one that can score at a high level. So, again, I think I definitely look out for Foster to go off against his little brother in this game. So it's a super senior, a fifth-year senior versus a true freshman. And so the Lawyer versus Lawyer game should be very fun. And, yeah, hopefully my Boilermakers can get the win at a – is it Gainbridge called?
I think it's Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Yeah. So this is the Patriot Stadium, then, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have number three, UConn against, I think it's at Butler.
It is at
That'll
Butler.
Butler's actually not a bad team this year.
Butler's a really tough place to play too.
Yeah, Hinkle Fieldhouse, yeah.
I'm going to take Butler in the upset here. I think that Butler has been pretty solid all season. So I do have Butler. I do think Butler can definitely hang around with UConn. So I'm going to take the Butler Bulldogs to get a huge win.
Do you think Butler can be a tournament team?
Maybe.
I think it'll be tough because I don't know.
They play in a tough conference as well.
The Big East. Mm-hmm. But the Big East, you know, without, you know, Villanova being that good, is it really that tough?
I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, then next up, the very late game at 10:30, we have number 6, Tennessee, going on the road to number 9, Arizona.
Arizona, I believe, is going to win because of home field advantage. Or not home court advantage. Sorry. Again, they should be able to beat Tennessee. I'd say at Arizona.
Tennessee is a very good team.
They are.
I didn't expect them to be this good. Now the thing with Tennessee is they're always pretty good in the regular season. Mm-hmm. They always do have success there. But you know, when it comes tournament time, Rick Barnes isn't the best tournament coach, and they usually kind of crumble. So you know, I'm not going to overreact to them right now. I'm not going to call them contenders until they can prove to me that they can make it past the Elite Eight, which when have they done that? I don't know. So, Garrett, Purdue got a new head football hire. So, what are your thoughts about that?
So, we hired Ryan Walters, who is Illinois' defensive coordinator. He absolutely turned around Illinois' defense in just his two seasons there. They had one of the, I think they had top five defense last year. I believe they were number one. But, yeah, an interesting hire because Purdue is known as, you know, a pass-first heavy offense. And they did hire him, which was kind of surprising. I thought they would, again, go an offensive-minded guy for the head coaching position. But, again, they went with a defensive guy, which I think is good because our defense has not been great, especially this year. So, again, interesting hire there. He was at Colorado as a scouting assistant in 2009, then a graduate assistant in Arizona, Arizona's defensive back coach in 2011, Oklahoma's grad assistant in 2012, 2013 North Texas's cornerbacks coach, 2014 Memphis's cornerbacks coach, 2015 Missouri safety coach, 2016 and 2017 the co-defensive coordinator and the safeties coach, and then 2018 to 2020 Missouri's defensive coordinator and safeties coach, 2021 to 2022 Illinois' defensive coordinator, and now he is obviously at Purdue. So a very interesting hire there by Mike Babinski to bring in a defensive minded guy. He really needs a great offensive coordinator to be able to strive the offense there. So my two guys that I would look at it as offensive coordinator is Jamarcus Shepherd from Washington.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, I would believe that's a call you make. He's been at Purdue. He's the wide receivers coach.
Do you think
there.
He'd leave, though, with Michael Penix saying he'll return to Washington and the things that Washington's been doing?
I don't know. Again, he is, you know, he has been at Purdue in the past. He was the wide receivers coach. Again, he developed guys like Rondell Moore, David Bell. So I think there's a chance, but I really don't know. And then another guy I would look at is offensive coordinator is Taylor Stubblefield, the wide receivers coach at Penn State. He is one of the greatest receivers in Purdue program history. So, again, I believe he's a guy you also look at to become, you know, your kind of wide receivers coach, or sorry, your offensive coordinator. If that's the way Walters wants to go, I would go with someone like that. But we really just don't know. I'm sure he'll be asked in the 12:30 press conference that is held today. So very interesting there. And, yeah, I'll be here to talk about it when the hire is made for sure. So, excited for the new era of Purdue football, bringing a defensive guy. So, really excited there for what Purdue has to offer.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, it is a little bit of a weird hire. I always look at Purdue as a pass first team, and they've always had that electric offense. Uh-huh. But it is like kind of a breath of fresh air bringing in a defensive guy like that. I've never looked at Purdue, and you never looked at them and been like, yeah, it's an elite defense.
And
defense wins football games.
Yeah, and I think he'll bring a run-heavy style, which Devin Mockaby can definitely strive in. He is a walk-on, and the first thing he actually did was give Devin a scholarship. The first thing he ever did as head coach. So, he's won over a lot of fans so far with that. So I'm just interested to see. Again, it's not the flashy hire that the fans want, but I believe if it works out, it can be really something special in West Lafayette. So again, I'm really optimistic about the new head coach there.
Yeah. So thanks for listening to another episode, I believe episode 19 of the Playbook Podcast. You can catch us on Spotify on Indy's Giant 90.9. Catch us on air every Thursday from 9:15 to 10 with our other co-host, Landon Nelson. Hope everyone has an amazing day, and signing out from Ben Davis Studio.